नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीपिपलाय न उवाच, स्थित्युद्भव प्रलय हेतुरहेतुरस्य यत्स्वप्नजागरसुषुप्तिषु सद्बहिश्च देहेन्द्रियासु हृदयानि चरन्ति येन सञ्जीवतानि तदपेहि परं नरेन्द्र श्रीपिपलायन सेड स्थिति of the creation, Udbhava, maintenance, Pralaya, anti-struction, Hetu, the cause, Ahetu, itself without cause, Asya, of this material universe, Yat, which, Swapna, in dream, Jagara, wakefulness, Shushuptisu, in deep sleep or unconsciousness, Sat, which exists, Bahi, Cha, and external to them as well. Deha, of the material bodies of the living entities. Indriya, the senses. Asu, life airs. Hridayani, the minds. Charanti, act. Yena, by which. Sanjivatani, given life, tut, that, avehi, please know, param, to be the supreme, Nara Indra, O King. Sri Pipalayana said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of the creation, maintenance, and destruction of this universe. Yet he has no prior cause. He pervades the various states of wakefulness, dreaming, and unconscious deep sleep, and also exists beyond them. By entering the body of every living being as the supersoul, he enlivens the body, senses, life airs, and mental activities, and thus all the subtle and gross organs of the body begin their functions. My dear King, know that Supreme Personality of Godhead to be the Supreme. We are reading the second portion of the purport. Although various aspects of the Absolute Truth are being described, the Absolute Truth is ultimately one, as stated in this verse, Tad Abehi Param Narendra. King Nimi inquired about Brahman, and now this verse says, Yat Swapna Jagara Susuptishu Sadbahishcha. The Lord's all-pervading feature within wakefulness, dreaming, and deep sleep, and his existence beyond these three mental states are understood to be manifestations of Brahman. The spiritual potency of the Lord. Finally, the statement, Dehendriyasu Hridayani Charanti Yena Sanjivatani, can be understood to refer to the Paramatma feature of the Lord. When the Lord expands himself as Kshirodakshayi Vishnu, the third of the three Vishnu features, and enters the heart of every living entity, the gross and subtle organs of the body become enlivened for continuing the chain of fruit of activity called karma. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the multifarious manifestations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead do not compromise his supremacy as one without a second. The absolute truth is Param Vyoma Nata, or the Lord of the spiritual sky, who appears as two-armed Shyam Sundar, as four-armed, as eight-armed, or as having 1,000 arms. In each aspect of his body is eternal, and in each aspect of his body is eternal and full of bliss and knowledge, Satchidananda Murti. He appears on earth as Vasudev, and within the causal ocean as Mahavishnu. He lies on the milk ocean as Kshirodakshayi Vishnu, and rescues his helpless young devotee as Narasingha Dev. Appearing as Lord Ramchandra, he acts as a perfect king, and appearing as Krishna, he steals the heart of everyone, and especially of young, beautiful women. All these features of the Lord are indicated by the word Narayana, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just as the word president indicates not only the official duties of the president, but his personal family life and long intimate friendships as well. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam, when one transcends an official understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and comes to the superior status of love of God, one can understand the Lord to be Krishna, the cause of all causes. The innumerable Vishnu expansions of the Lord are also understood to be plenary portions of Sri Krishna, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. As the Lord himself states in Bhagavad Gita, Aham Sarvasya Prabhava, these points have been explicitly clarified in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, as in the opening verse, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Janmadyasya Yato Mayad Itaratashtit Chateshu. We are reading this morning from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 3, entitled Liberation from Illusory Energy, Text 35. This particular section of Srimad Bhagavatam includes several of the often quoted slokas, verses of our acharyas throughout our history of our parampara. The section begins with Vasudev inquiring from Narada Muni. Vasudev was asking his questions in a deep, profound state of humility and concern. Because just previously, Narada Muni and other great sages and rishis performed wonderful ceremonial sacrifices for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for the well-being of the entire world, all living beings. These yajnas were performed in the home of Vasudev, the father of Sri Krishna. Afterward, the sages went to a particular holy place, and the young adults of the Yadu dynasty, they were in some sort of playful mood. And we know the story. They dressed Samba, the son of Jambavati, as a lady, and asked the sages, "You know past, present, and future, you know everything. Will this young lady, who is pregnant and about to have a child, give birth to a boy or a girl?" Whatever they said would be a matter for joking. The sages, they said, "You are all fools." This child will give birth to a lump of iron that will be the cause of the destruction of the Yadu dynasty. Then they walked away. These young Yadus were filled with fear. How are they going to explain this to their elders? They just offended great sages and rishis, and this is the result. So they went under the cloth that was covering Samba. There was a lump of iron. Wasn't there before. So they brought it to Ugrasena Maharaj. They didn't want to tell Krishna about it. They went to the king Ugrasena, who was in a court of other great ministers. And what are they going to do? So they pulverized the iron and made it into powder. But one piece they could not make into powder. And they threw that little piece, as well as all the powder, into the ocean. That's where we go so far. Narada Muni goes to Vasudev's palace. Vasudev sees what's happening. And he understands how everything in this material world is so temporary, whoever we are. Of course, it is another subject, how and why that happened. There are many instructions. One instructions of how great we may be, however close to the Lord we may be, we must be very careful not to make offenses to great souls. No one is exempt. Sometimes we think when we make a little spiritual progress, when we have some knowledge, maybe we can even do something or know something better than somebody else, that we have a right to ridicule them, to be condescending toward them, to hurt their hearts, to offend them. But we must be very careful, because Krishna takes offenses against those who have surrendered their lives in his service very seriously. And what an example. Even his eternal associates who have descended from the spiritual world with him in the Yadu dynasty are not exempt from this principle. Also, Krishna, he had already performed everything he planned to do in this incarnation. And he was about to enter into his last chapter of disappearing from this world. And he knew the Yadus. They were constantly thinking of him. They loved him dearly. They could not live without him. At the same time, they were the most powerful Kshatriyas warriors in the world. And when great Kshatriya warriors have ecstatic symptoms, sometimes they manifest in various ways, especially in separation from the Lord. So Krishna wanted to take all of them with him. In fact, he wanted them all to go back to his eternal abode before he did. So combining many various lessons for the world to learn, as well as many intimate loving pastimes with his associates, Krishna designed it this way. When Narada Muni came to Vasudev gave him a nice seat and inquired from him. In this world, everything is temporary. No matter who we are, we do not know when death will come. Padam padam yadvi padam natesham. Srila Prabhupada explained, we should not be surprised when material miseries come, because they're inevitable. Janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha dosana darshanam. Birth, old age, disease, and death. They are the problems of this material world that there simply is no material solution for. Srila Prabhupada gives example that sometimes even a millionaire or billionaire has a child who's sick, and he gets the best possible doctors in the world. But still the child dies. Ultimately, there's powers beyond our own. And the billionaire, millionaire, whoever they may be, they also, at any moment, may die. So this awareness is a very honest evaluation of reality, that calamity and death could happen at any moment. Does that mean we should live in fear? The reality of this, being conscious, is actually an impetus to help us to take the medicine that frees us forever of all fear. Now, what is that medicine? Daivihi shugunamayi mama maya duratyaya mame vamye prabhadyate mayameta tarantite. The miseries of these threefold miseries of material existence that are activated by time under the power of sattvaguna, rajaguna, and tamaguna, very difficult to overcome. Mayatyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. Krishna tells material nature is working under maya, is working under my supervision. This material energy is Krishna's energy. It is beyond the control of everyone and anyone. Even Lord Brahma has to die. He lives a long life. But if everything is relative, for him, his life seems about the same as our life seems to us. An ant may only live a couple weeks, But in the ant's little relative perception, he seems to have the same kind of life duration as we do. Is born, infancy, babyhood, childhood, adolescence, middle aged, old age, older age, death, and at any particular time or interval, a bird could come and eat it, a human could step on it, some invading tribe of ants could come and kill them. So it's all similar. We all have our relative experiences. The quantity of time is not really very important. So Vasudeva is asking Narada Muni, what is the highest good? We have this very rare human life. And the rarest thing in human life is to associate with great devotees who can enlighten us, who could show us the path, who could connect us to grace. Sadhu Sangha. And at the same time, we know that calamity and death could come to anyone, everyone, at any moment. So what is the prime duty that we could all perform that will please the Supreme Personality of Godhead? What is Bhagavad Dharma? The highest purpose. How to serve the Lord, how to please the Lord, and how to achieve the highest liberation in doing so. Narada Muni was so happy to hear these questions. It's interesting because these same types of questions are asked again and again throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, throughout the Vedic literatures. Vedanta Sutra, which is the summary study of all Vedas, begins atato brahma jigyasa. That human life really begins when we inquire, who am I? Who is God? What is Brahman? Parikshit Maharaj asks a similar question to Shukadev Goswami. What is the highest purpose of life? What is my duty? And what is the duty of a person about to die? What is the essence of all religious spiritual principles? And similarly, Sutta Goswami, who was in that assembly of Parikshit Maharaj, he was later questioned by the sages of Naimasharanya. Essentially, same question. What is the prime duty for all human beings? Munaya sadu prishtoham bhavadbir lokamangalam yat krita krishna samprashno yenatma suprasidati. Sutta Goswami was so happy to hear that question. He said, your question is wonderful, it is glorious, because it's for the welfare of all. The answer to that question is the ultimate well-being for everyone. Vasudeva is asking the same question. And Narada Muni, in tradition of parampara, he's citing someone else asking the same question. And he's citing the answers that were given to that person, which is wonderful. Because in this world, everyone wants to be unique and everyone wants to proclaim himself or herself as the doer, as the special one. But we find among truly great souls, whatever they know, whatever they say, whatever they do, they want to give credit to someone else. They don't want the credit for themselves. This is the difference between an advanced person and a person who thinks they're advanced. Because ultimately, advancement is in the eyes of God, not in the eyes of our egos. Ahankara vimudatma. That the nature of the ego is we want to think that I am the doer, I am the controller, I am the proprietor, I am the knower. So here is Narada Muni. Narada Muni learned directly from Brahma. Narada Muni is the guru of Vyasadev, the compiler of all Vedas. And yet when he's asking the question, when he's getting question from Vasudev, the father of Krishna, who also knows a lot, but Vasudev is so humble to be the father of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not an ordinary person. But like Arjuna, who is the cousin brother of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's inquiring for the well-being of others, and also because it's just the natural quality of a great soul, not to think that they're great. Vasudev, according to the acharyas, is thinking in his own mind, when Krishna was born in the prison cell of Mathura, he appeared first as Narayan with his incredible effulgent forearm form and informed me that in my previous life, Devaki and myself was Sutapa and Prishni. And we performed years and years, long duration of tapasya. And then the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared to Sutapa and Prishni and asked, what desire would you like fulfilled? They could have asked for the ultimate liberation. They could have asked for anything. They could have asked for material prosperity, to elevation to the heavenly planets. They could have asked for mystic yogic siddhis to perform miracles. They could have asked for impersonal liberation. They could have asked to go back home, back to Godhead, the ultimate perfection of life. But instead of asking to go back home, back to Godhead, Vasudev's thinking, I asked to have you as my child, to bring you into this material world. I could have gone back to Godhead to be living eternally with you. But it was Krishna's desire in his heart that he asked for that. Devaki and Vasudev, they had pure love for Krishna. They were serving Krishna's purpose perfectly. But he's humble. He's thinking, I asked for the wrong thing. So he's inquiring from Narada Muni. And Narada Muni, in reply, wants to give credit for all of his answers to other great personalities. And he's telling this wonderful history. The king of Videha, his name was Maharaj Nimi. And one time the Navayogendras, the nine sons of Rishabdev, met him while he was performing a wonderful ceremony, a yajna, for the well-being of his kingdom and the world. It's interesting how so often we find these great sages and personalities are coming at the times when kings are doing yajnas. But it's natural. Because they're doing whatever ceremonial rituals or whatever sacrifices they be performing. It's for their own purification and for the purification of the world. And these yajñas or jagyas, they invoke auspiciousness, they invoke blessings, they invoke grace. And that grace is manifested when it attracts great personalities to come. Saravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, the greatest yajna is to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. So they're performing all these other ceremonies, and because of the sincerity, great personalities are coming to give the highest enlightenment, the most precious blessings. Swayambhuva Manu had a son, Priyavrat. He had a son, Agnidra. Little later, there was a king named Nabi, and Nabi gave birth to Rishabhdev. Rishabhdev was an incarnation of Lord Vishnu, great personality who ruled the world in such an exemplary way. He had 100 sons. And we find in the fifth canto, before he retired from the world to become an avadut, by his example as a king. Mahajano yena gata sapanta, the path of perfection is to follow in the footsteps of great people. So great people, yad yaracharati sthrestas tad tad evi tarojana. They set an example. So although Rishabhdev was not so old, he was quite full of power. Everyone loved him. Everything was peaceful. But just to set an example. And in his own humility, he's an avatar of God, he left home to perform tapasya in the forest. But before doing so, he gave teachings to his 100 sons, which are among the greatest, most enlightening teachings that have ever been manifest in this world. His eldest son, Bharat, became the king of the world. In fact, the world was named after him, Bharatvarsha. Nine of his other sons became rulers of the nine Varshas of Bharatvarsha. 81 of his sons got initiated as Brahmins and taught Vedic sacrifices and karmakanda, pious activities, devotional activities. And nine of his sons became paramahamsas. They were in the highest perfected state of spiritual enlightenment. Their bodies were effulgent with love for God, with love for Krishna. And they traveled throughout the universe, enlightening others. They could go to the abode of Shiva, they could go to the abode of the demigods, they could go to the abode of the Nagas, they could go anywhere they want, and wherever they went, they would shower blessings and knowledge upon everyone. So all nine of them together, the nine Yogendras, they all assembled in the sacrifice of Maharaj Nimi. Maharaj Nimi asked them nine questions, one for each. And this comprises several chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam. Really interesting. One after another, Maharaj Nimi asks one question, and Kavi, he gives elaborate answer. And he asks another question.
And what are his questions? Essentially the same questions. What is the ultimate good for all living beings? What are the characteristics, the qualities of one who's pleasing God or Krishna? How does such a person talk? How do they act? How do they respond to situations? What is the characteristics of love for Krishna? Tell me about how this illusory energy is working. And that's the particular question that we are addressing in today's verse, this particular chapter. And today's question, King Nimi inquired, please explain to me the transcendental situation of the Supreme Lord Narayan, who is himself the absolute truth and the supersoul of everyone. You can explain this to me because you are almost expert in transcendental knowledge. So after just hearing about the power of this illusory energy, how it operates, where it comes from. When we read these descriptions previous to this particular question and answer, we understand how completely we are dependent on the shelter of the Supreme Lord. The illusory energy is so powerful. Krishna, simply through his exhalation, he creates all the universes. And the Navayogendras tell how when it is the time for the dissolution of this universe, there's a drought. We have seen drought, but this is really a drought. No water, no rain. It's extreme. And the heat of the sun is blazing hotter and hotter and hotter. There's no air conditioning. There's no fans. Nothing works. And Shankar Shan at the bottom of the universe, he gets so hot and flames come up from his mouth. And everything in the universe goes on fire. That's just the beginning. Because heat, just like here in India, at the peak of the summer season, when things get really, really, really so hot, then the rains come. So that's just a little sample of what's yet to come. After it's so hot, no life can survive, then there is massive rain. So much rain that the whole universe is flooded. Everything's underwater. And all the different elements, one by one, merge into the other. The earth element loses its quality of aroma and merges into the water element, which loses its quality of taste and merges into the fire element, which loses its quality of sight and enters into the air element, which loses its quality of touch and enters into the ether element, which loses its quality of sound and enters into the ahankar, the ego. Not just your ego or my ego, but the universal ego. And then that merges into avidya, ignorance. And then even Lord Brahma, he's like a flame, and there's no fuel in the flame. What can a flame do without fuel? If you have a little lamp with some kerosene, the lamp could give so much light. It can have such power. But if there's no fuel, it's just a matter of time till the lamp just disappears. So all of our life, we're all dependent on the fuel that Krishna gives us to live. So even Brahma just finished, disappears. There's nothing left. And all living beings, all the jivatmas who are still in a conditioned state, they enter into an unmanifested state. And then whenever Krishna decides to manifest another cosmic creation, then everything is set forth again. So when we see from this perspective, we understand Mamaivam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. We're just little parts of God. And the liberated state is to fully take shelter of the Supreme. When we fully take shelter of the Supreme and chant his holy names in that spirit of service, then Krishna gives himself to us fully. The beauty, the sweetness, the playfulness, the attraction, the limitless happiness of Krishna, he gives himself to us. For one who takes shelter. Otherwise, it's us against the insurpassable powers of material energy. Srimad Bhagavatam declares that trying to cross over the complexities of material existence is like trying to cross an ocean by our own efforts. Now, there may be some great gold medalist Olympic swimmers and everything, but does anyone even attempt to swim across the Pacific Ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, the Arabian Sea? It's simply impossible. But the ocean of material existence, it's an ocean that has no shores. It's a limitless ocean. But for one who takes shelter of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by Krishna's own effort, by Krishna's own grace, who's the controller of all controllers, he reduces the size of the ocean of material existence to the amount of water contained within the hoofprint of a small calf. Now, if you go to Govardhan Eco Village, you will see so many hoofprints of cows. And they're very large compared to the hoofprint of a calf. And now that it's the monsoons, all those hoofprints are filled with water. What is the effort to walk across it? Otherwise, it becomes like a limitless ocean. So to take shelter of Krishna, this knowledge is the true medicine. And the Navayogendras, they tell us, the very principles that Lord Chaitanya gave the world, that when we take shelter of the Lord fully, and we serve the Lord for the Lord's pleasure as our true goal of life, when we chant the holy names in that spirit, Krishna gives himself. And then we can easily cross the ocean of suffering, the ocean of death. The Navayogendras have previously explained that the symptom of an elevated devotee of the Lord is they see everything as Krishna's energy. And they see every living being as a part of Krishna. Therefore, they have no inclination whatsoever to exploit. They want to utilize everything in harmony with Krishna's will. Even the smallest thing, even the apparently most mundane articles or items, a devotee sees Om Purnamada Purnamidam. It's all coming from Krishna. Krishna is perfect and complete, therefore every manifestation of himself, there's perfectness and completeness in it. If we just recognize it's coming from Krishna. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate. Krishna is the source of all material and all spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. After Krishna says that everything in this material world and spiritual world, everything is emanating from me, then the connection. He next says, the wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. That means everything there is in the material world, we see it as the sacred property of Krishna to be used in Krishna's service. Samsidhyar Haditoshana. Atapumbiadvijastreshtas varanashrama vibhaga shashvanushtatasya dharmasya samsidhyar Haditoshanam. Whatever our varna, whatever our ashram, whatever particular social or spiritual place we may be in society, its value is simply according to how we please Krishna. And Krishna is only pleased with one thing, our love, our devotion, or our intention to live in love and devotion. And that is expressed by simply how we are living according to Krishna's wish. And great devotees, they are Krishna's representatives who teach us how to do so. Guru Sadhu Shastra. The Navayugendras tell King Nimi that a truly enlightened devotee sees everything as Krishna's energy, and therefore remembers Krishna in every situation of life. Is a well-wisher who lives for the well-being of all beings, and who sees the whole creation as Krishna's personal property. An intermediate devotee worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead, makes intimate friendship with the Lord's devotees, is very kind and compassionate to the innocent, and avoids those who are inimical and envious. And the lowest type of devotee is one who worships the deity but does not properly treat the Lord's devotees or other living beings. And the description of love of God is described so nicely here. In today's verse, Pipalayana, he is describing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of creation. He pervades every state of consciousness. And as the supersoul, the Lord within the heart, he enlivens the body, the senses, the mind. In every aspect of our life, to know that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is supreme. And in the purport quoted from our acharyas, it is giving examples of various incarnations of the Lord. The Absolute Truth is Paravyomanath, the Lord of the spiritual sky. The spiritual sky, Brahman, or the Brahma Jyoti, is a manifestation of Krishna himself in the form of limitless, eternal light. Within that spiritual sky, there are innumerable spiritual planets. And in the topmost of all those spiritual planets is Shamsundar, Krishna, who's forever beautiful, who plays his wonderful flute, who gives his life forever to each and every one of his devotees to engage in intimate personal pastimes. Sometimes in some spiritual planets he has four arms, eight arms, thousands of arms, and each aspect of his transcendental body is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss, Satchidananda. He appears as Vasudev. He appears as Mahavishnu to rescue his helpless young devotee Prahlad. He comes as Narasingha Dev. As Ramchandra, he acts as the perfect king. And as Krishna, he steals the heart of everyone.